Cool. No. All right. Good morning. Good morning. I'm really, really excited to be sharing this final installment this morning of our Talking with God series. Prayer is something that God has been growing in my own life in the last number of years. And as if that weren't enough, the title of this morning's message is Crazy Town. And I'm not sure that Pastor Brandon could have selected a more qualified member of the preaching planning team to share on the topic of Crazy Town. So I'm really excited. Really excited to talk further about this topic. As the keeper of our family schedule, I know that we are running. We are running every single day. We are running from one thing to the next. But I was curious. Is that what all you all are doing too? Is that what you are doing? I see no nodding heads, so I'm thinking no, but I bet you are just still like you had just had pancake, so you came in and we're just still waking up. But I was curious, so I put it out on Facebook. I put it on Facebook this week using, and I was just looking for descriptions of some of my social media friends' busiest of days. Okay, I was just looking for to see. I was just curious if your brand of Crazy Town is similar to mine, and I think it is. I think it might be. So let me just share what one friend shared. She is a math teacher, and so has three kiddos. So let me share a little bit about her day that day. She was up at 4:40 that day so that she could get to the gym. So you thought faith and fitness was bad. You thought that was bad. She was up at 4:40 so she could get to the gym by 5:15. So she could just have a couple minutes to herself that day, take care of herself, that health, take care of herself. She was back home, took a shower, got the kids up, got her kids off to school, got herself to work by about 7:10. And because she's a math teacher, she was there early with students. She was doing math help at 7:40 that morning with four students. She proceeded to teach math from 8:30 until 1:15. Before she ran off to an offsite meeting, she ate a can of tuna at her desk, a can of tuna. She had an offsite meeting at 2:30, came back to the school to pick up one of her kiddos at basketball practice. Incidentally, in the meantime there, one of her friends took her son to swim team practice, and her husband was going to be picking up that son and feeding him on the way to church that day. So meanwhile, Mama was at a meeting at 5 o'clock for field trip meeting with two of her kids watching Netflix in her classroom. Incidentally, when I read that, I was struck, like, what did the pioneers do? Like, they didn't have Netflix. So what did they do when they... I didn't know. That struck me when I read that. So anyway, she leaves the kids. She feeds the kids on the way before heading to church. And she drops the kiddos off at church. You thought her day was almost done, right? Nope. She drops the kids off at church. She walks across the street to Starbucks to grade papers and to secure lesson plans, just finalize lesson plans for the next day. She goes right across the street, picks up the kids at between 8 and 8:15, took them home that day, and passed out. I think is what her words were. I don't know about you, but I could use a nap right now, just early, like right now in the day, just thinking about all the details of that day. I don't know if any of this sounds familiar. Does any of this sound familiar? Similar schedules? Yeah. Now, your version of Crazy Town might be different than Carly's. I said I wouldn't name names. Than Harley's. Your version of Crazy Town will be different than hers, and your version is going to be different than mine, and everybody sitting next to you. So it's true. We all have work. We all have deadlines. We all have volunteering and kids and schedules and homework and appointments and Facebook and Instagram and whatever else. We all have those things. And if you're like me, most days you're just trying to keep your head above water. You're just trying to survive. How in the world do we have time to do anything? How in the world do we have time to pray? Let alone have time to pray. And you can't tell me that it's easier in a different stage of life, all right? One of my friend's dads said recently, I heard him say he was running errands, and he said, I don't know how I had time to work a full-time job. He was so busy running errands that day, he didn't know how. And I've heard other retired people say similar statements. So it doesn't matter what season of life we're on. We all are living in Crazy Town. So when it comes to our lives and our living in this crazy schedule, often in life, what, at least in my experience, I find is that prayer becomes something that is more of a last resort and not what it should be, which is my first response. Prayer is more of a last resort, not my first response. So let's dig into God's word today, because apparently Crazy Town's not just in the 21st century, not just in North Dakota or the United States. We're going to check out a section of a letter today that was written by a man named Paul to some Greek followers, Christ followers, in the town of Thessalonica in the first century. And near the end of that letter, he has some really great advice for his friends living in Greek Crazy Town. But it certainly applies to our lives today as well. So here's the text today, our scripture today. So encourage each other and build each other up, just as you are already doing. See that no one pays back evil for evil, but always try to do good to each other and to all people. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. And this small passage has a lot of advice, about what is important. And if we love Jesus, if we follow Jesus, yeah, we'll encourage others. We'll do good. We'll be joyful people, especially Thanksgiving is coming up. We can tend to have a lot of gratitude around holidays like that. We'll encourage others. Did you catch that last thing he snuck in? He snuck it right in there, man. Never stop praying. Never stop praying. Your translations might say pray continually or pray without ceasing or pray all the time. That list sounds pretty nice and mildly attainable when, you know, until he lays out something that sounds basically impossible. Never stop praying. He might as well said, do good, encourage others, stop breathing. I mean, he might as well said something to that effect. Never stop praying. What is that? What does that even mean? And how do we do that? How do we do that? With everything literally pulling us in every direction, how do we do that? And why? Why would we even want to do that? That was something that struck me this week. And I think it's important to pause for a sec and really think about that question. Why? 2 weeks ago, Pastor Don reminded us that God has chosen me and he has chosen you to be our friends, to be his friends. And I want to talk to my friends. I need to talk to my friends. I wish I could do it more. Wish I could do that more. My goodness, I barely spoke to my husband this morning. I consider him my best friend. What is my God? My Savior, my friend, have to say to me, especially when there are times that I just don't know what to say to him. I think we need to grapple with this question of why. Why should I pray all the time, pray without ceasing? And I think one of the answers to that question, if I'm really, really honest, one of the answers is, if I'm a Christ follower, this is true. I am in desperate need of God. I'm in desperate need of God. When I first began my relationship with Jesus, I think it was a struggle to understand this dependence. I would have told you I'm a good person. I give to charity. I give things away. I hold the door open for people. I pay it back or pay it forward at Starbucks. I pay it forward at Starbucks, you know, where you buy coffee. I do that, Kate. Used to do that. I'm a good person in general. I'm a good person. I'm not sinful. Why do I need God except to go to heaven? Because that was the conversation around my original conversion, coming to know Jesus, except for heaven, and I want to be there. Why do I need to be in communication with the Lord? When I started to learn more and I read the Bible more, I realized that the sins that the Bible was talking about were not things that I necessarily thought were sins. I saw my actions with a brand new lens. Things came into a different focus using the scripture. And I realized that I could be very, very self-centered and very self-reliant. But knowing Jesus gives me the ability, it gives us the ability to love and to help others unselfishly. It gives me the strength to live in Crazy Town. Knowing Jesus gives me guidance for my life. And when I feel lost in life, when I feel lost and things are going from bad to worse, God gives direction. God gives direction. So as Christ followers, I think we need to acknowledge our desperate need for God. We need to be desperate. What does that sound like? The psalmist cries out in this way, "Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly, I search for you. My soul thirsts for you, and my whole body longs for you in this parched and weary land where there is no water. Who have I in heaven but you? I desire you more than anything on this earth." Today, as Christ followers, what if we just forget about all those excuses that come to mind about why we don't pray? What if we just started with acknowledging our desperate need for God? You know, I'm a hot mess too much of the time. Life is too busy too much of the time. I absolutely need to talk to God every day. Rather than approaching prayer as just another thing on my to-do list, another thing to check off, what if today we all left believing that we need prayer as much as we need the air that we breathe? What if we left today acknowledging that we need prayer as much as we need the air we breathe? And we need to breathe to live. And we need to pray to live and grow. Jesus has chosen you, and he loves you. God is pursuing you, even now. But he wants your whole heart. Proverbs reminds us of that. And Mark reminds us, the Gospels remind us, that we are to love the Lord with our whole heart, with our whole soul, with our whole mind, with our whole strength. Who's getting that attention right now? Who or what is getting your whole heart right now? It could be one thing. It could be one of the 1,000 things that are a part of your week this week. God is pursuing us. But there's something really cool that happens when we too begin pursuing God. Pursuing him, something amazing happens. When prayer shifts from an add-on in our lives, when prayer is no longer just one more thing in our day, but the most important thing of our day, what happens is that prayer doesn't take energy. Prayer fills us with it, giving us hope and joy and life and the ability to walk through crazy town differently. Constant communication and connection with God causes our lives to simply look different. So Monday morning, talking with God is going to give me the ability to love that insane coworker. Not me personally. No, just kidding. I love you, Al. No. I mean, personally, no, just kidding. It gives us the ability to love those people when what we really want to do is strangle them, right? It gives us patience with our family when our frustration level is off the charts. Off the charts. Regular conversations with God raise me from a place of really like stale religious habits and traditions into an authentic connection, a real connection with God himself. The more I pray, the more I understand that without it, I have very little love, very little patience, very little gratitude. In fact, if I'm honest, what's left when I'm not in continual communication with my God is not that pleasant to be around. So I need to pray continually, because I desperately need God. And in addition to shedding those excuses for why we don't pray, we're gonna just pause a second and consider our current prayer life. Just consider right now, your prayer life as it stands. Because for some of us, it's been days or weeks or months and months and months since we spoke to God, since we talked with God. And maybe you're here today, and the last time that you two spoke was the first time when you asked the Lord, invited him into your life. And one thing we're not gonna do today is we're not gonna pick up any guilt or any shame about that, because we all look different across this room today. We're not gonna pick up any guilt or shame because of what our prayer life is right now, that it maybe is less than what it could have been. Rather than being discouraged and rather than being weighed down by guilt or shame, rather than feeling disqualified in some way, we're just going to start talking to God today. Let's remember, he's our friend, right? He's a friend. I love this verse. He delights in you. Listen to what the psalmist says. He led me to a place of safety. He's my shepherd. He led me to a place of safety and he rescued me. Why? Why did he do that? Because he delights in me. He delights in you. And he desires so very much to hear your voice. So, armed with that knowledge, we have a few moments here. We're going to consider the how. How do we pray continually? And here are just a few things to get us started. And I think the first thing that we need to consider when it comes to prayer in Crazy Town is that we need to find our morning. Our morning. And this is what I mean by that. Well, first off, I have to admit that when I wake up each day, my first inclination is so often to check in with everybody else on the planet through emails or Instagram, through the news, through Facebook, before checking in with the Lord. So often that's my first inclination, I'll admit that. And if that's your inclination as well, that just means one thing. We have to be intentional. Now, while the Bible certainly has examples of men and of women who are pouring their hearts out to God at the start of the day, in fact, I love what the Psalms say, I rise before dawn and I cry for help. I put my hope in your word. In the morning, I rise and I bring my requests to you and I wait expectantly. Now, I realize that not everybody's a morning person. There were some groans when I started that story of 4:40 a.m., right? Brandon reminded me this week of a great verse. Not a risen morning person. I realized that. Also, I realized depending on your stage of life, the season of life that you're in, your schedule, goodness, your work schedule, your morning might be at unusual hours of the day. It might just be at different times, atypical times of the day. I began a new devotional a few weeks ago by Priscilla Shire, and it's called Awaken. Ladies, if you are looking for a new devotional, I would recommend it. Priscilla Shire is her name. And in that very, very first devotion in that book, she spoke about this morning concept, this idea of morning. She was convinced that morning is a principle. It's not merely a time of day. It signifies a position of priority, a place of preeminence. So let's just figure out, what is our morning? What is that? Maybe for you, it is the morning. You get off work from third shift and you come home and you've got 30 good minutes before you go to bed. Maybe for you, it's your lunch hour. Maybe for you, it's when the kids get to bed. Maybe for you, it is the morning. So let's begin. When we find that time, when we give that to the Lord, let's begin that time with an immediate declaration of our complete dependence on him. When we give God first place, when we give him our whole heart in this position of top priority of our day, and once we've done that, once we've given him priority, I think one of the next things we need to do is to check in throughout the day. So to put it another way, we need to pray repeatedly and to pray often throughout the day. And what, you ask, are we doing when we are praying these prayers? I'm glad you asked. What are we doing? We are living our lives in this crazy town. We are just living our lives. In the 1600s, a monk named Brother Lawrence explained that prayer isn't separate from the rest of our day. Rather, prayer is meant to be done in the midst of the mundane chores of daily life. In the midst. So in the midst of a day full of meetings, Brother Lawrence would say, pray, acknowledge God, talk to him really quickly even, in between your meetings, before, after your meetings, on your way throughout the schedule that you have, the schedule that you keep. Are you washing dishes? Is that today's task? Talk with God while you're washing dishes. In the midst of the mundane chores of daily life. talk with God in the midst of it all. And it may sound impossible today to some of us, but I think we should just make it a goal to start. To just start. And as residents in Crazy Town, we can't afford not to be in communication with the Lord. Let's remember that if we are just starting or picking it back up, picking that discipline back up in our lives, it may go slow at first. It may go slow, but it will grow. It will grow. And the more you pray, the more you'll want to pray. And the more you pray, the more you will want to pray. And the more you pray, the more you will want to pray. And as you go through your days, and as you go through those days in Crazy Town, I think one of the easiest ways to pray continually is by using something called breath prayers. Breath prayers are short, simple, honest prayers that are said in one breath. Couldn't get any easier than that. They're simple expressions of the longing of our heart. They're prayers that are helpful when we're going through a really difficult time. We feel far from God. We don't know what to say. Breath prayers just express a dependence and our trust on God. Dan shared some really great examples of breath prayers in last week's message, Short, Simple, Honest. So if you can grab the, if you missed it, grab the podcast or grab it online. You'll want to catch that. Examples like, please help me. Lord, I need you. Just simple prayers, simple 2-second things that you can say in one breath. These sentences can be as simple as giving thanks or asking for help. So for some of us today, think the idea of praying repeatedly, praying without ceasing, is a tall order. And I totally agree with that. God enables us, though. God will enable us when we seek him first and when we follow his commands. And there are days when we will simply maybe pray a little longer during our time in the Word. Maybe we'll pray on our commute. We'll shut off the phone, shut off the music and other distractions. And on one way of your commute, you just sit and pray. And when we intentionally begin carving out time, when we are making time to pray repeatedly and often, eventually, we may not do all the talking. We may find ourselves just sitting with the Lord, listening even. And as talking with God becomes more natural, more like breathing, it will take less thought. With prayer space throughout the day, we will not feel far from God. It's difficult to feel far from God when we are in regular communication with him. So one more thought in closing. There are times that I pray often. There are times. And there are times that I pray much, much less. And boy, does it show. Boy, can I tell in my day. I fall. I forget. I realize. And what I got to do is I just got to restart. Just got to restart. And what I think is so amazing about our God is that he's not standing over us. He's not standing over us ready to judge our faith based on performance. Do you know that he doesn't love me any less, me or you, any less when I pray less? He doesn't love me any more when I talk to him more? He just delights in you just as you are. And he's honored when we humbly bow to him in prayer and we give him our whole hearts. We need to remember today that God loves us and he delights in us. And while living in Crazy Town, the question is not, how can I find time to pray today? It's not the question. The question is, how can I make it through this day without praying? In fact, why don't we do it right now? Let's bow. Thank you so much, Lord, for choosing us today. Thank you for pursuing us even now. Thank you for calling us friend. May we commit today to pursue you with all that we are, no matter what this week holds. And may how we pray in the midst of crazy town draw us closer to your heart and bring you glory. Amen.